023 Chodesh Halvavos, Thursday night. Yeah, we find Lamaisa in history, in Jewish history, and really in Tanakh also, we find tremendously brilliant people, Talmid Chachamim even, people who knew Torah, people who were brilliant people, certainly in history, even if you're not talking about Talmid Chachamim, but you're talking about very brilliant people, and they were Kofrim. They were Kofrim, they were Apikursim, they denied, they had kashas, they had issues, they thought they had proofs, and they became Kofrim. And really that's what the Chodesh Halvavos here is talking about, and that is an intelligent person, a person who's very intellectually oriented, and the danger that person faces when he grapples with these issues. And he's not, you know, many times there's an agenda. The Marshal, you find by Doeg and Achitofel, are maybe prime examples of, actually you have Bilam, even Bilam. Bilam, because of Titus, Bilam was a guy, but he was as close to really having an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what's going on, and he went off because of Titus Momen, because of Nefesh Rechava, what it says in Pirkei Avos. And Doeg and Achitofel were jealous. They had different issues. And people had issues. Yeravim ben Nevat. Yeravim ben Nevat gave Shlomo HaMelech Musar. And good Musar. And he was commended for it. But then his Gaiva about who would be perceived as a greater personage got the better of him, and he was it's like you read it, it looks like children, and you say to yourself, this, I think it doesn't fit the Yeravim ben Nevat, but the truth, it doesn't fit a genius or someone who's giving Shlomo HaMelech Musar. But the truth is, in life, in our lives, in the lives of always, jealousy is always petty. Redifus kavod is indeed childish. And jealousy is childish. It's not like that. It is childish, but the biggest people are nichshol in it. Yeravim ben Nevat went to the opposite end of the spectrum of Moshe Rabbeinu, Cholte Yomachdias Arabim, as opposed to Zoche Mezakes Arabim, because he wanted kavod. The Gemara says he'll go to the Beis HaMikdash. They'll go to the Beis HaMikdash, and then they'll see that the Malchei Beis David are sitting, and I can't sit in the Azara, so they'll, right? That's what he said. That's why he made the Egel, Azohal. That's why he made the Avodah Zorah, so that Bnei Yisrael shouldn't be all the Regel, so that he shouldn't be thought of as an inferior Melech to Malchei Beis David. He was given the Malchus because he was a tremendous person, because he gave Shlomo HaMelech Musar and he wasn't afraid, he spoke up, he held Shlomo HaMelech is doing the wrong thing and this and that, and so he was given Malchus, and then he frittered it away and became Yeravim ben Nevat, who we talk about in the lowest of terms because he wanted kavod. And you have Doeg and Achitofel, that might be a hidden motivation for intellectually straying. We don't know. Chodesh Halvavos is not going into the motivation. He's just talking about the phenomenon and how careful you have to be when you delve into these matters and then you're faced with issues. So you have to be very careful. He gives now the mashal, the Omru. We're in the middle of Kufay, page Kufayim Ches, basically in the middle of the page. The last two words on the line, the Omru Ki, right after the Zemara Mokum of Hoshea Yud Dalet Yud. He just applied, I'll say over the Pasuk in Hoshea, Ki Yisharim Darchei Hashem, He doesn't quote the whole pasuk here, but it's obviously a reference to the rest of the pasuk, right? Sadiqim yelchuba poshim yikashluba, and he's talking about a person's mind. He's talking about the interpretation of the Chayim Halvados here is we're talking about the intellectual capabilities of a person. Sadiqim yelchuba, you can reach the greatest understanding of Torah, of Elikus, of the Bria, with your mind. And the Chayim Halvados encourages that and hopes that you'll be able to. And then, with one small wrong turn, you become another Spinoza. You could become an Apikaius. You could be martial people, and you could go off and deny and become a Chotei Umachti. And Jewish history has plenty of these people. They're not all motivated by covet. Rabbi Elchanan says, right, they're all motivated by something, by covet, by taiva, by something, because it's really, that's Rabbi Elchanan's approach to that in his famous mimer, in Kovetz Mamorim. I don't know, maybe so, but there's a lot. I don't know. I really am not in a position to say. There's a lot of stuff out there, though, that are kashas, and not always are there terutzim that are satisfying, not always are people not. The Chavis Alvavis is talking about that you're not really up to the task intellectually of refuting all the kashas. So this is a manifestation of the little knowledge is a dangerous thing, where you're that smart, but you're not that smart, so you can't refute. And that's what that person has to be the most careful. And that person is going to be taken over by the Yetzer Hara, and he's going to end up being kofer because of the kashas he has, and he can't satisfactorily answer the questions. So that's a problem. That's what Chavis Holz is pointing out, that danger. The Omru, so that's what you say, Tzadikim Yelchuba, and you reach the greatest of Madregas, and the Chavis Halvados is very much in favor of that, of delving into these things and properly understanding them. But Toshimi Kashluba, if you have to be very careful. So let's see, he's going to grapple in a few lines with the issue of, like, how do you know if you're supposed to follow where your seichel leads you. So then, what are you supposed to do? So how do you know when you're going off? How do you know when you should stop and retreat and realize that you're dealing with things beyond your comprehension and you're straying off? He's going to deal with that in a few lines. But Rabbi Chanan would say that to even start to have that issue, you have to make sure you're totally agendaless and you don't have any agenda, not personal agenda, not the taiva agenda, not covet agenda. Can a taiva cover? That's usually what does it, those three things. So he says, v'amru ki achachma, but intellectualism and understanding, so imtsad b'hachacha b'shvileha, if you're able to walk its paths properly, tia refuah l'chol machla. That's the greatest thing in the world. You know, and of course, you know the Bria, you understand things, you know what you're supposed to be doing, you can help others. Although this is very much in favor of that, but the Yamshina was darker, but if he took a wrong turn, for whatever reason, we know what the truth is. So he took a wrong turn either because of issues and agendas or COVID, or he took a wrong turn because, as the Chavis Halvados described before, he wasn't able. He's not malumot in debating, and you know he doesn't know how to answer. Questions are thrown at him. He doesn't realize that the premise is false. The guy throws a question at him, and he doesn't realize that the whole thing is based on a premise which may not be true. But he doesn't know that, so he's not really capable of dealing with all these issues. So the Yamshina bo is darka, then adarabba. Tia magve kloli, then it's an illness that you can't shake because it's intellectual and you think it's the truth. So then like you can't climb out of that. It's not like a taiva where you're doing your own thing and you can't control yourself, so you learn Musa. But if you're convinced that you have the truth, if you're convinced that you're right, if you're convinced that, I mean, you're chazal. I mean, right? Arbon nichnasu l'paradise. Four tanoim entered the most sublime secrets of the universe, of the Bria. The Bria. And one of them became an apikoros. Talking about a Tana. Because he had, the Gemara says it in childish terms, because that's the only way we can even learn the Gemara. Right? But he saw things and he understood things and he had kashas and he couldn't answer those kashas and he denied everything. He said the whole thing's a bunch of hokum because he couldn't answer a kasha. So this happened to Tanoim, a Tana. One Tana became an apikoros, one Tana went out of his mind, literally. Right? One died, and then Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was the only one that was Yotzei B'Shalom. That ran the whole gamut, went through the whole gamut of intellectual inquiries, and he came out B'Shalom. He came out Rabbi Kiva. So, you're dealing with really heavy stuff. So he says, if you can do it, great. If you can't do it, though, you're playing with fire. And then that's very literal. He then compares it to fire. Ulufikach nimtara ha-Torah ba'esh, ka'esh, I guess I should say. The Torah is compared to fire. K'maymer ha-kosav alo kol dvorei ka'esh no ma'ashem. Esh burns and gives light. So that's the Torah. That's chochma. Seich. It gives light. It's meyer. But if you're not careful, you get burnt up.
Rabbi, the four that you mentioned,
yeah, Gemara and Chagiga. Who remembers Chagiga here? Anybody? Anybody learn Chagiga and remember it? No.
What I'm asking is, were they all contemporaries?
I don't know offhand. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.
If Rabbi Akiva made it through,
yeah.
If they were contemporaries, they would have had to. If they were in the same place and they were contemporaries, they would have had to
talk to each other. That's all speculation. I don't know.
Why would take such a risk?
He doesn't want you to. I mean, he holds that's the ultimate in Avodas Hashem. So he says, if you don't think you can handle it, don't take the risk. You have to know yourself if you can handle it. That's what he says. But the Chavis Halvodis' whole approach is that certainly that's like if you ask someone what's better, Lahamin Sheyei Shaloka or Leida Sheyei Shaloka. So the Chavis Halvodis is all in favor of Leida. And Shara HaBechina is all about that. And Shara Yichud is all about that. And say, but now he's saying, you have to be careful. And the Chanami, you have to know yourself.
But how are you supposed to know yourself? Then Zoma and then they didn't know themselves.
So he gives now, in a few lines, he's going to give you a warning signal. Where a yellow light should go on in your head. In a few lines, he's going to say when a yellow light should go on in your head. Mamish in a few lines. Because he's bothered by this question that you're asking. It's like, how do you know? You're supposed to ask and intellectually understand and ask and answer and ask and answer. So like, what are you supposed to do? Okay, but first he says it's like fire. It lights up your eyes with its light. Things were dark, and now you see them. There's no greater pleasure than understanding something that you didn't understand before, about realizing things you never realized before. Like, if you ever experienced, like, you suddenly realize a beautiful hashgacha pratis aspect of your life that you feel dovek b'Hashem and you feel humble that Hashem bestowed upon you, like, this chesed that you're able to mamash feel His presence in your life because this unbelievable thing happened. It's a very heady experience. It lights up your eyes. You learn a sugya, and the sugya could be choshech, and you're horrified. Nowadays, going to get through the daf, but if you, it's also something to discuss. I don't know, you know, just like, okay, Hashem's running history. If Dafyomi's taking over, it must be Hashem knows that even though it's far from ideal learning, very, very far from ideal learning, but someone up there, L'chaira, must know that the alternative would be bad news. Okay. L'fishimira seinayim ba'ora, it gives light. Come on. But it's not the tachlis. The goal in life is not the Dafyomi, by a long shot. The goal is to understand what you're learning. To light up your eyes, to be mayor. But the sorefes b'chuma. But if you're not careful, you're playing with fire, very literally. You want it to give light, but you get too close, or you turn, you make a wrong turn as you're. As you're using it to light up, you make a wrong turn, you're not careful, you use it with abandon, you use the fire without proper safeguards, so then you get burnt up. The Sarefis Bechumis on the Shana is Darka, Achar Yidiyosu also. You're using the fire, you're playing with the fire, you're with the fire, but it's fire. But Omro, Kibo Eish Hashem Nishbot, V'Omar Yamter Al Rishoyim, Pachim, and the next word is Eish. The Gophris, oh, I left out the word eight, that's the whole point. The Omar, Loaz Kerenu, the Loya Daber Od Bishmo, it means in the name of Hashem, you go, you went off to Derech, the Hoya Belimi Ke'esh Boeres, and then you have a fire burning, and it burns you up, it burns up your soul. So, what is a person supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? So he gives you the red. I'll call it not the red light. He gives you maybe either a red light or call it the yellow light. Lochein he shomer, and he it's such a non sequitur. What the next line in the Chavis Halvav is like a total non sequitur. He all of a sudden starts talking about something else. He gives you an unbelievable measuring gauge. He says if you see you're going off the Masorah. If you're coming up with new things, if you're saying, they never understood, I came up with something that nobody ever understood before. If they're coming up with new things, that's why, like Chassidus, if they're coming up with, it's a good, no, that was the battle of Chassidus, is because they mamish this point in the Chayvus Halvavus. That they felt it's a very dangerous, heretical, apikursishub, bad movement, as much good as it does, but in the long run it's going to be terrible, 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 and because they did things that were not in the Masorah. And the Chavis Halvada says, that's your warning light. If you come up with things that all of a sudden you're saying, we've been doing things wrong for the last 2,000 years, all of a sudden we know that you have to have women prayer groups. Have women prayer groups. So it makes a lot of sense, and you can read extremely learned articles about how women prayer groups are mutter upgeret, but a wonderful idea and a moiridika thing, and it is a taisefta that's mashma that they used to do it in the times of the base. So make that do. You can read these things ad nauseum. But if you see things that never were done, and they're strange, then that's the warning signal that you're veering off.
Rabbi,
yes. I think a bad example.
If I'm understanding you correctly, you're giving two different examples. One example being certain elements of Hasidus.
Well, yeah, veering off the deck. The Chavis Halvavus
puts another example being
women prayer. They are connected. They're connected in that it's something that you could very learnedly write for different Torah journals. How wonderful it is It's not the Masorah. Chazal Talbavos is giving, it can be a very controversial Chazal Talbavos. Chazal Talbavos says if it's not in our Masorah, if it's something new, whether you now go out of here and saying, oh, the Chazal Talbavos was the first to say Chodesh Otzim and Atayra, right, the famous quote of the Chassam Sefer. I don't want to minimize what the Chazal Talbavos, make it into a catchy phrase. Chazal Talbavos says that's your warning signal. Maybe not even the red light.
They're not directly connected. This is not our one.
The Tzad HaShava is that. The Tzad HaShava is that they. The Tzad HaShava is that they're coming up with ways of serving Hashem that no one ever thought of, and they came up with this great idea that no one ever thought of before, and they can explain it, and they can intellectualize it, and they can say why. So you say the whole Beis Yaakov movement, talking about women. The whole Beis Yaakov movement could have been, and it almost was, if not for the Gerei Rebbe and the Chafetz Chaim, who said it's a Hiro HaShah, and a Tzorech HaShah, and it's absolutely necessary, and we need it now, although they never did it, because the matzah was never so bad in the street, and the home never was so powerless in the face of what's going on in the street. So this, they gave it their haskama. Otherwise, Klal Yisrael probably would have rejected it on this basis. That it's just, and a lot of people did. You know, now we're looking at, in hindsight, of the success of 100 years. And we're saying, unbelievable success, like from zero to boom, right? But in its time, it met with a lot of opposition. For this reason, kosher opposition. The kosher opposition for this reason. They say, you know, our fathers didn't do it and they never felt the need for it. So, there's something wrong. It's not kosher.
Okay, but let me ask one more question. Okay, the discourse in terms of yes, it is, no, it's not.
Yes, okay. It is what, no, it's not what.
Yes, it is kosher, no, it's not kosher.
Yeah.
The discourse. If I'm understanding correct, it was quite a problem that caused divisions between the B'nai and between the B'nai Yisrael. The discourse, i.e., the lack of being able to speak to each other.
I don't know what you. Because the Lovers are saying. If you get caught by a missionary and he brings you proofs, quote unquote, refute them, and your mind starts thinking, you know, you don't have the intellectual capabilities of refuting him, and it makes sense, and it appeals to your seichel, and you can't answer. So the Chazal says, "Say, wait a second. Why? What?
Yeah, but
our predecessors, listen to the point. You stop and you say to yourself, the generations before us knew all of this also. And still they got burnt at the stake rather than become Christians. I'm not smarter than they are. Something must be wrong because it's not in our Masorah and they didn't do it, so I'm going to run away. And maybe I can't refute it intellectually, but that's how I know it's not right.
Okay, but if that is missionary versus, you know, that's one level. What I'm talking about is the discourse Jew and Jew, Hasidic and
yeah, but you're thinking nowadays. I'm talking about Hasidic and non-Hasidic when it first started. And they were doing weird things. And they were doing things. Now, Rabbi Wine has a famous sentence, when the revolution becomes the establishment. Now the Hasidim are more bourgeois and more establishment than anyone else. But they were, in their time, an extremely revolutionary. They were all Breslova, you know. They were all dancing in the streets and doing weird, funny stuff and missing Zman Kriya Shema. And drinking l'chaim and doing crazy stuff, and then you know, and they said simcha, and Hashem wants us to be obeyed in the simcha, and a lot of, people said, you know, this is new, this is revolutionary. There is something wrong here. I maybe
and a lot of them got jailed because of B'nai Israel, parts of B'nai Israel took it outside themselves.
There's a lot to discuss. We could talk about the phenomenon Chassidus for hundreds of hours.
But that's not the point.
Here, I'm bringing out one point. And I'm giving an example of Chassidus because that's precisely what was said against the Hasidim, and it probably was true.
What saved
the Hasidim, in my opinion, in my humble, not so humble opinion, what saved Hasidim is probably the shock of being put into Cheyron by the Gra, and the Balatanya, who wrote a Shulchan Aruch and cut out all the nonsense. That's probably what saved them.
Alright, but what I'm going to say is, part of Chavos Levavos, isn't it the discourse between the two?
There should always be discourse. I'm not quite sure how that fits into what the Chavos Levavos is saying. You're right, there should be discourse, and we have to talk about it. But
which is one of the tragedies.
But that's not what the Chavos Levavos is talking about. That's a different point. He's talking about the idea that when something's revolutionary, you should run the other way. If Slifkin wouldn't have Rishonim that he says say like him, then the point would be well made. That even though it seems intellectually rigorous and it makes sense and it's seicheldik, but you run the other way. It has to be not true. The tragedy is that he's saying that's part of Amasora too, and many Rishonim held like that, many Achronim held like that, and you can't turn around and say that this is not our Masora. There's so many big people, so many Rishonim and Achronim held like that. You know, so like, what do you want from me? But the concept of the Taina on him is not a bad Taina. It's really the Chavos Halvavos' point. It's precisely the Chavos Halvavos' point. That even though it seems intellectually correct, but there's something very fishy about something that's so not like our Masora, and you run the other way and you notice something wrong. That's your warning light. That's your red light. That's your yellow light. And you know that you're not being omed on the MS. You think you are, but you know you're coming up with something that no one realized. And the Chavos Halvavos is very strong on this point that our Masora is ultimately what saves us. Because sometimes, you know, there are tainus out there that you can't refute. And everything sounds right. And how do you know who's right? Yeah, you were saying.
Yeah, no. In the Kor Borah prayer, in Torah Duma, he quotes his father, the Orach HaShulchan, who met with Tzemach Tzedek, who said that point, that he thinks that the Gros Cheirem helped prevent the Chassidus from going off.
Yeah, from going off the deep end. I'm going to get a lot of schar. I just controlled myself. Okay. I'm the last Misnagdim left in the world. I'm the only Misnagdim. When I go, there's no Misnagdim left. 80% of what they call Das Torah is just, they're just jealous of the Hasidim with the rabbis. 80% of it. Maybe 70%.
What are you saying,
80%
of the
time? It's semi-Hasidus, that's all. They're jealous of the Hasidim. They want a rabbi too. Lochein hishomer. Penyim adu ashurecho miderecho ovos. Don't stray from what? I mean, if you think of Hasidus, I mean, really, like you think, don't go away from derech ovos. The idea that you go to someone that he should daven, you know, foreign ideas to Judaism. Alright, so you say, you know, they went to Moshe Rabbeinu and he davened for them. The idea that someone's directing your... Alright, okay, we'll talk about it by Shoshudas Moshe. Moshe, you can't... I can't. It's not fair. Okay, Moshe, our forefathers didn't do this.
Now, our forefathers didn't say kill him if someone was ill.
Whoa. I misunderstand. Mega misunderstanding. I didn't say that. Chas v'shalom. Don't stray from the derech ha'avos. Ushvil harishonim el hachidish. He's saying don't do new things. V'tifal kifi sichlucha. And then you'll say, oh, but this is the way I understand things, and I have to go with. Mesorah should play a major part in your decisions of what's right and what's wrong. And if you find yourself coming up with new things, even the Gra, you should know. People had such tainus on the Gra, and they do down to this day in the Zilberman community, that they're doing things that they're like wiping out hundreds of years of Jewish halacha, Sach, and Mesorah. The teretz is that the Gra is going back to Rishonim. He's hooking up to our Avos. To the Shvil HaRishonim. He's not being machadish. He's not machadish anything on his own. The irony is that every single little teeny thing that the Gra did or said, he always shows a makor in the Gemara. That's the irony. He always shows makoros in the Divrei HaRishonim, in the Gemara or the Rishonim. But that's what he says. So don't leave the Shvil. You have to think even like if you say, is democracy a good idea? It's also a big chiddush. It's not the way out. Maybe it's not such a good idea. It's not such a good thing. Look what if 100 years ago you'd say democracy is the greatest thing in the world. If you look at what it led to, the immorality, and the total what they did with it, maybe it's not such a good thing. Who says it's such a good thing? So like I said about Daf Yomi, Hashem knows that it's better than the alternative, but it's still not such a good thing. It didn't lead to good things, as we see now. I've experienced in my lifetime a total yurida to the worst and lowest immorality and disgusting behavior, terrible, terrible things. Okay. We need a benevolent.